We will start with our meeting, and then at the time of deciding, we'll then make sure that we have the necessary quorum. Colleagues, welcome. We'll start with our report. Let me start with the apology. Let me welcome all of ourselves in the meeting. And just for the benefit of members, I have called for the USASA contingent to appear before the committee today. So, but we'll see them once we are done with our scheduled work, which is the report of the committee. And precisely because the minister is not here and the deputy minister will arriving late, we'll actually entertain them after 11. Ms. Ndongeni will be joining us, and Mama Tsotetsi is off today because of her school thing. She's gone to school, whatever thing. Yeah. So welcome, and we will kickstart with our meeting. Like I said, we will look at our report. Is the department? Oh, what is our figure about this meeting? Oh, womb part. Okay, in part. Yeah, but we'll see you guys say after. After the minister is arrived, the deputy minister is arrived. So you can be free to take some few straws and have coffee.
And the same goes with us, I suppose.
Yes, it
okay.
does.
So
yes.
We can be dismissed.
You are not dismissed.
No, stand outside.
You can take a few walks here,
right.
Look for Mayor DeLille, and have some coffee. But, Mayor DeLille. And then hopefully once the deputy minister arrives around half 11 or around 11-ish, we will then see you. If she doesn't arrive and we are done, we'll call you without any political head. Good. I have not received any formal, what do you call?
Kangaroo court.
No, I don't read the news. Sorry? Until such time that there's formal presentation to me, I will... Madam Fulo, welcome back. We were very concerned about your absence for a long time. And we did record our concerns, and we wrote to the chief whip because certain procedural issues had not been adhered to in terms of the rules and procedures of the House. So we're very concerned about the way things happened, but welcome back, and let's hope that going forward things are done according to the rules and procedure of the House, because we would receive some apologies after the sitting has occurred. But also they would go directly to Hygera, which is unprocedural. They should be going to your party whip, and the party whip should be reporting to the committee. Owing to that and the concern that the committee had raised, we raised your matter up, we took it up, but we are glad that you're here. Please make sure that we stick to the rules and procedures of Parliament. Colleagues, I guess all of us have received the report, and I see that Mother Sir Mackenzie did make some comments on the report, actually technical corrections which have been effected. Sisushin and Oshisiskilian also made a few corrections, so we will go through them because they are somewhat substantive. Now, Hajira, you must help us out.
Yeah.
Guide us with all the documents that we have so that we can follow the things properly. walk us through your documentation. You don't be careful,
it's okay,
Mr. McKenzie. I thought you were the technician who was going to help. But now it's fine. Because we are, you didn't deliver tea today because.
The chair. We can take it page by page and until we come to page 11.
We can start from page 1. It's only on page 11 that things start to change. Okay. Colleagues, we are on page 1. Obviously, nothing really substantive. Page number 2. There's nothing. Those who went through the document, they were fine with it. And page number 3, you were all fine with it. Page number 4, you were all fine with it. Page number 5, you were all fine with it. And like I said, the McKenzie amendments were all effected. They were technical. Page number 6, you were all fine with it. Page number 7, you were all fine. But indeed, if there are things that you may have missed and you came across, feel free to raise them. Page number 8, page number 9, page number 10. Now, we are now starting with our areas where they are concerned. Perhaps I should also just say, did they finally bring our refreshment?
They finished this coffee.
So far not over there. How are you, Professor?
Just observing how system of government works.
How well it
works. Yes, this is not a system of government. This is a system of parliament. But you are free, Your Excellency, to take a proper seat here as a learned friend. Welcome. Mackenzie, you must behave if you still want to pursue your academic what I call this man can slaughter you.
But he's now sold out for the corporate sector.
Hey, don't trust them. They just go there to gather more.
How quickly socialists become capitalists?
It happens overnight, and that's what's happening in Europe.
The production of
Europe is accepting the socialist system. They say capitalism has failed, so now they're shifting over. They say after 200 years, that okay, let's continue our work. Page number 11. Okay, let's continue. Page 11, Hajira. You are the boss.
It's actually on our new copy, page 10, the end of page 10, starting with budget analysis of the department 2018-2019. Machine had a concern that the numbers were not correct. I did send it to Eric. He agreed that it's not correct. He actually made an error and used the quarterly report. So he's rectified it. So it's the budget analysis section. That's the first heading on page 10. And if you look on our page that I've submitted, we've changed it now. So Machine, if you look at it, you can just tell us if you agree with that.
Wait a minute, now I have a wrong document.
Okay, we just look at this document.
This one. Okay. Oh, okay, mine doesn't look like yours.
On the other page.
I also want to come in on
yes,
that.
Yes, we are coming to that. Don't overtake the chair.
Sorry, chair. I'll pass the head around to the next one.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give you a bottle of wine, Madam Shin.
So this was the original?
No, but it doesn't look like yours.
It is. Chocolate.
It's not written budget, what it means.
Oh,
I see. Oh, so you are saying on this original document, we go up to page 10.
Yes.
And then from there we shift to this
you
handout.
Just look at
this. Just for
to see the amendment.
Okay.
Cheers.
Yes, Madam.
Yes, Chairperson, I want to commend Honourable Shin for this thing because, you know, as members, we go through sometimes we adjust the wording, etc., just to make it easier to read. And that we are in fact saying in the report what we mean is. But I must say it's a very serious oversight on the side of Eric or whoever was involved there. And I want to thank Honourable Shin because we take it that these figures are correctly recorded from the documentation that we received. This is really a very serious matter
okay.
that we should register with the relevant officials.
Madam Shin, it looks like you're getting more and more payments for your holiday. So please reduce it into monetary, Mama Killian. She says she doesn't take word compliments. It's got to be monetary. So you...
I'm sure.
Or you can give me some of your tickets or your wager miles or something.
But thank you very much. Thank you very much, Madam Shin, for that eagle eye.
Thank you.
So, Chair, that means...
And thank you, Mr. McKenzie, for first raising it.
Sorry, Chair, can I just add that my name, Ajira, is McKenzie.
I'll rectify it.
Is that so?
I'm not offended, but,
NZI.
It's like me and my double L's.
N-Z-I-E. Okay, McKenzie. That's Afrikaans.
McKenzie, no.
It's Scotch.
Well.
Can you give me 10 seconds indulgence, Chair? In Gaelic. In Gaelic.
The place.
The Z was written, it's actually key. So it's McKenzie.
Okay.
And
sounds
the,
like.
Professor Barnes is learning something here today. When they started printing, you know, they would set the type. There was no letter for that E, but the closest was a Z, so they would just use a Z, and over time it became that Z. That's why men's E is pronounced Mingy.
Okay.
McKinney.
Where is it originating
McKinney.
From?
Scotland.
I think it must be
Scottish.
Scottish.
Ooh, it sounds like French.
The only part of Britain that was not conquered by the Romans, I'm just saying.
Okay. Cross, you're taking notes, eh?
I am.
Okay. Okay. We are now on page. The next page is page.
13.
No, but isn't it the correct one? This one is correct.
Yeah, these are. So, you can go now
yes.
to page 12. Sorry, Chair.
Yes.
So now page, you go to
page
12.
So page 11, we are agreed with the amendments by. Honourable McKenzie, Shin, you almost got very good accolades. Page number 12, colleagues, no one has raised the issues. And page 13.
So it's page 13 and 14, it's a similar scenario, just the effect of those changes was made on the certain numbers. So it would start with program analysis on page 13. And end with the heading ICT infrastructure support. So the numbers were just changed.
The figures.
The figures.
Yes.
And then.
Wait, don't rush. Colleagues, are we following?
Yes.
So in there we've said it would be changed to, if you look at the bottom, that's what it would be changed to. Members, can you look at that? So there you go, Jack. In there.
Change to. Are we following? In other words, your attachment, your page, the smaller one, this one, to page 3, changing to program analysis. So the figures here, as they appear, they are reworked.
That's been reworked.
Baba, Mama Shin?
There's still a confusion on how to do figures in the metric decimal system. Because sometimes you put a point, sometimes you put a comma, sometimes it's a space.
Yes.
It needs to, when there's thousands, be a space, and only when there's a sort of decimal point, we put the full stop. I mean, sorry, we put a comma.
Do you get that? In other words, this 52 rand, this looks like 52 rand. There must not be comma. It must be a space.
Just a space.
Yes, 52 million is a 52. Wait. It's 52. Which page are we?
Yeah, 14. Am I right? Yeah.
What page are we?
You're in. I'm looking at 10.3. You put 85 points, and it should be a comma.
85 points, yes.
10.3.
Yes.
Okay, and 78 comma.
Yeah, or not...
4 points, yeah. And then 2...
Okay,
okay.
So it, in the manner in which it is here, you see here.
But it changed it.
But let's check on this.
It changed it.
But in on the new page, Madam Shin,
yeah.
It's on page 4. Remember the figures.
Yeah, the problem comes because you use American software. But America still uses the comma for 1,000 and a full stop for the decimal place. The metric system uses a space for 1,000 and a comma for the decimal place. So if we're varying between an imperial number system, which comes with software, and we're a metric country. So it's different from the figures that are produced from us. It's an Excel spreadsheet, which have a comma and a full stop. Whereas when we actually need to write it, which is in the metric system that we are, because we're a country that does, you know, kilometers and kilos and that sort of stuff, we need to actually use the metric numbering system in the text.
In a narrative.
Yeah.
Which is that? Which is
a space for 1,000.
And a comma.
And a comma for a decimal place. That's
okay.
Terribly confusing. I mean, everybody gets it wrong all the time.
How will it read, Mishin?
Where are you?
If we start by looking at what you feel is the error, how would it read?
Just go to page 4 of this new arrangement.
Change to.
Just check it. Page 4, yes. ICT International. Your changes. Are you finding?
Yes, we close the spaces. Okay. Close the spaces. So it's fine. So now we on.
So are we fine with our page?
Mm-mm.
Page 4, Madam.
Honourable Chair, now that Hajira and Honourable Shin found each other, can we please be let into
taken into?
Sure.
C- Can you announce?
It's just Ms. Shin made a few changes on how it should be written. For example, if you look on this page, I didn't number it. The comma stays, we must just close this page. And that's what Ms. Shin did throughout the set.
Yeah.
And that's on page 4. Is that right? Yes, I know, but I might mark it page 4.
So it's about closing this page.
Okay.
It's about you removing that that comma.
That comma stays.
Stays, and then the space must be closed.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good. That's now your page. We are page 4.
Are you
at 5
now?
Page 4, Baba Makesh.
Thank you, sir. I'm not quite sure whether this is 4 or 5. Under 10.2, ICT, International Affairs and Trade.
That's page 4.
Page 3.
On this one.
Line, it says the program has been allocated $52.835 million, a little more than the $4.9 million. Now,
it's a foot.
A lot more than
4.9 million. Is it not 49 million? Let's go and check this figure. I think it could be 49 million.
Thank you,
Baba Mackenzie. Because if it's a little more, it must be 49 million. It can't be 4.9
million.
Yeah, let's just check here, Madam Shin. You seem to be on top of your game in terms of figures.
On the actual instruments of expenditure here, in this budget, we've got last year's international affairs and the ICT trade partnership thing, a total of $47.8 million, and this year is $50.2 million. So I'm not quite sure.
So that 52 is actually 54.
Now I distrust all the figures.
Where is the gentleman that is?
He's
in a meeting. Okay.
He's got many meetings.
Colleagues, let's just reflect on the disparities that we may pick up. If we don't have the necessary help here, we'll have to quickly do a proper vetting of the documents. But please help where we can, then we'll verify it with.
I'm glad I brought it along.
Yes, ma'am.
It's all good and well that we can now focus on this document, but the issue is there is an extensive rest of the document, and if we find these discrepancies here, obviously they can be right through the document. And I was honestly, you know, we always have the arrangement, they must check the figures. That's the responsibility of the staff to make sure that we don't make those errors. We will interpret our engagement and our narrative that it reflects the committee's view.
It's true.
So I really feel very uncomfortable. I feel that I've got to go and that's not our job. That's not what, and I think we should call on the Speaker's office to say what is happening. Why don't we get the necessary support?
So also now that we really are, you know,
in a technical space now.
You know, I'm now looking at policy research and professional developers in the original estimated. Now we've got programs allocated $85.9 million.
Yeah.
And now in this thing it says, unless this I've forgotten how to read these documents, is 95 of them. be allocated 95.2 million, up from 90.4. Or are we, hang on, maybe we're looking at the adjusted. So
for last year, for after
the
adjustment.
So let me just have a look at the adjustment. Yes, sorry, that's what we should be looking at that.
And, but then we should state it.
Yes, after adjustment.
After adjustment.
Yeah, but
yes.
We don't have
the actual figures.
Yeah,
the final
figures. Even then, the adjusted appropriation was 88.8 million. Okay, we've got 80, we've got 78.5. And it's 88.8
in the document. Okay, you know what we should do? Let's reflect on those figures that are problematic. After the meeting, we'll have to go into the original document that has been tabled, your report, and then and see how far we can go before. At least let's deal, make sure that our narrative is appropriate, because that's actually our work, as Madam Killian was saying. But indeed, the fact that we include figures which we actually don't, because indeed they are given, you know, they are not supposed to be, we are not supposed to be in this situation, because figures are supposed to be what is there and then deal with our narrative, because we have not effected any changes on the figures as a committee. But yeah, I, if we may, colleagues, Madam Killian.
Yes, but Chairperson, I would then like to recommend that we just work on the basis of substantive changes, amendments that were proposed, and then we get the argument for it, and then we adopt that. But that we then agree we cannot adopt the report today, because we must have absolute certainty that our figures are correct and correctly reflected. And if we speak of actual, then we should say actual expenditure, so that we don't compare it to last year's budget provision. You know, they were changing.
Mm.
So let's just talk, when we make comparative analysis, it must be clear what we are referring to.
Okay, but it's fine. but let's reflect where we see disparities, so that after this meeting we are able to then go back and look at the figures, and then we'll have to set up a quick short meeting whenever, during lunchtime or early morning or after sitting.
Yeah.
And then we can look at the figures. But for now, let's look at the figures where we see issues, and then we can go make sure that there's proper working on it. But let's make sure that our narrative is what we had spoken about. Page 4, that's where we are. Page 4, and then we go to which... after page 4, which ends with 10.4... ICT, you look at those figures. Anyone else who's be? Yeah. Okay, fine. We are trying to get the person to come and join us if they can pull him out of the meeting that he is in. Can we look at the next? It's now page 15. Page 15, original document, and on page 6, on the revised document, it starts from, the revised document starts with what appears on page 14 at the end, and then continues to page 15. We are now at 11.1.1, 15, which is on page 15, 11.1. There is there at the conclusion of that sentence. Is that Mrs. Shin or Mrs. Killian?
Shin.
That the committee highlighted the governance and leadership challenges experienced by entities such as the Mississippi Sasa. And noted that it was important for the department as an enabler of policy to ensure the effective delivery of key mandates and provide proper guidance and assistance to all entities, and for the responsible DDG to an active and more diligent role in ensuring that entities operate lawfully and efficiently. That's what Madam Shin said, we said, says, we said. Baba Killian? Mackenzie, Baba Mackenzie, sorry. Apologies.
Yeah, no apologies. To be seen as honourable, clear and better off is a compliment indeed. Chairperson, just on the spelling, responsible deputy director general, to take an active and more diligent role, that should be R-O-L-E.
Yeah.
The other one is something you need.
The role, yeah, it's quite nice.
Mama.
I would like to agree to some extent, but now, you know, if we have a head of department and we're actually jumping over his head and we want to hold the deputy director, is it not the director general that must be held responsible to ensure that branch operates effectively?
Remember, this is our narrative. This is what should have emerged out of engagement. Yes.
Chair, if I can just motivate that. Chair, there is a deputy director general whose sole job is the oversight and effective management of the entities. And it would seem that because a lot of these, particularly USASA, which to me needs special diligent focus, is in such trouble, is that, as the DDG responsible said when we questioned him on this, he said, we have a hands-off approach. So therefore they sit in their offices doing nothing, instead of actually going out into the field and checking that this stuff is happening. You know, like at the Mpumalanga site that you went to see, where there was obviously some kind of shenanigans going about that wasn't working, the infrastructure, the towers and all that. They weren't getting their internet, the clinics and that. Now, why didn't the DG actually go on inspection sites to see if the castle was actually delivering on what it was reporting to him that they were doing? They need to actually get off their butts and go into the field.
No, I think what Madam Killian is raising, it's an important matter. For all I care, we should actually be saying the minister.
Yeah.
Because look, the person to whom we assign authority, and when we pass the budget, the person who requests parliament to pass is actually the minister. So it is actually the responsibility of the minister, political responsibility of the minister. But accountable is the DG. So once we take it to a junior person, we're actually reassigning responsibility to a person that accounts to the DG. I mean, who's the head that must fall first is that of the DG. As much as the DDG is the one that attends most of it is actually the minister who is, for all we care, the minister must be the person that we refer to. Yes. Hygiene is actually reminding me that these are recommendations to the minister. But indeed, no, they remain right. They remain right that we are recommending to the minister about his players. But I think let's leave it at the... If these are recommendations to the minister, then it must be either him or the DG.
Yeah.
But
my feeling is that they're spending far too much time in the office and not enough time on the delivery.
On the field,
they have to check that the entities are delivering what they're reporting that they're doing.
Perhaps let's say the DG and responsible
Can I just ask
officials?
On the question, it's all very well that we notice under observation, but I think it would have more power if we put it under recommendation. Then it becomes a decision of Parliament that the minister
gets off their butts and gets out into the field.
That the minister makes sure that his officials get out of their butts and go out into the field. Because I'm just saying, I don't know if we must worry too much about observation. I think we must make sure that
our recommendations
have steam.
Agreed.
You know, so let us rather just...
Okay,
focus
perfect.
All attention on
the
real recommendation.
More.
Does
it's
that
fine.
Capture?
It's fine. It's fine. So, can we... We're fine. We can leave it as it is.
But we go to the recommendation.
Go to recommendation.
Okay, we agree.
And the next one? Yep. The next page... I mean, on page 18... In other words, I assume that page 16 is fine, page 17 is fine. Page 18... the ninth
here
bullet.
Is, here is the recommendation.
Now we are on recommendation. So, let's first go to
the first bullet is where we must
bullet.
Start.
Yeah.
Chairperson, can I make a recommendation?
Yeah.
That we actually start the recommendation with the committee recommends to the minister.
The committee recommends
to the minister.
Recommend that the minister.
That the minister.
Yeah.
And then, you know, colon. And we say, ensure effective delivery on key mandates and provide proper guidance and assistance to all entities, in particular, and then we list those that we raise a concern. Because you see, Chair, I share Honourable Shen, and I think other members share Honourable Shen's concern about specific entities. In particular, so then we come back to those, to NAMISA, SAPU, and USASA.
Are we fine? Good. That's now our bullet number one. Yes, we are here. The minister, the committee, this is a recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Recommends.
Recommends or directs.
The minister.
Yes, recommend that the minister ensure. We can't recommend, we must instruct the minister.
Okay.
We must direct.
We direct the minister.
Yes. The committee directs that the minister must ensure or resolve.
Is that correct?
Okay, we recommend to Parliament.
The committee directs the minister
yes.
to.
Perfectly.
Okay.
That he must do this and that.
But that's
yeah.
not a bullet point. That's just an introduction.
Yeah,
yes.
That's just an introduction.
Yes.
The committee directs the minister to. And then we go on.
Yeah. The recommendation is now we are at the recommendation, no more observation. So it's the first bullet at the recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
That the committee directs that the minister.
That's the intro.
That's an
to
intro.
The first
yes. Bullet. Ensure effective delivery of key mandates and provide proper guidance and assistance to all entities, in particular USASA, NAMISA, and SAPO.
And then we say a semicolon, and then we go to the next. Ensure
yeah.
that entities, blah, blah, blah. So we don't every time repeat the minister. It's an
yes.
introductory phrase.
It covers.
Yeah, what I'm saying, it's covered, yeah, observations and recommendations to the minister on top. And then it goes 1.1, 1.11.
The observations can't go
yeah.
to the minister. It's what we observe as a committee, having gone through the report.
Okay.
But it's observations and recommendations. Now this thing
okay.
does not belong here. Yeah, you can remove this thing.
Okay.
In other words, you remove observations, fine. But recommendations to the minister, you cancel this thing and then it goes this side. It says recommendation. So it's fine heading recommendations.
So we say to the minister, yeah.
No, recommendations is fine.
Mm-hmm.
The committee, that's the first bullet,
mm-hmm.
the committee directs that the minister ensures, and then first bullet continues as is, USASA, da 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 da. And then?
Are we saying the minister must, semicolon, in the bullet points, ensure?
Yeah, yeah,
yes.
yeah. That's
but
what
then after all those, instead of the full stop, we put a semicolon.
That's
semicolon
right.
at the end.
Yeah.
And then
okay.
the second, continue.
Continue.
So, we are fine. Page 6 at the port. Yeah.
Can I just say here, ensure that there are ongoing discussions with Treasury to secure additional funding for SAPU. It's one of those bullets.
Mm.
It's on the next page, on page 19. But
okay. Okay. Okay.
I just feel, and that is what was one of my recommendations, what is my recommendation that I made, and I don't know exactly where that's going to fit
the
in.
The last page, Ms. Kidding. 20.
You see, I feel it's so important that we don't miss the issue of the immediate interventions that are necessary in SAPU. to regularize that. Because, you see, the SAPU issue, as you know, it's critical for them. And we
are coming to that.
Okay, are we going to come to that,
yes,
so that we,
yes,
focus specifically
it's
on that
it's
issue?
It's here. It's what bullet again? It's
last page.
The last page of the small one. Okay, my page is sort of a bit. Where is the last page? Oh, just one page
just
out.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Okay.
Just check
your second. Just check the next page. Just check that thing in the meantime whilst we proceed. Madam, welcome. Okay. Just check this document. The very last page.
Yes.
21 and 22. Can we deal with latecomer? Honorable latecomer? It's not empty. It's a committee meeting. On page 33? Sorry. My apologies. We are on page 19, isn't it? We page 19, there is nothing that we have raised.
Page 18, we need to check on page 18 and new.
Page 18, let me see.
This is a new.
Oh, okay. Yes, page 18, there is a recommendation by Mama Shin after the ninth bullet to insert a recommendation that ensure efficient collaboration.
I agree.
Between broadband, USASA, that. So there's an agreement. You are inserting it, ne?
Sure.
We go to the following page. We are now on page, we've done with page 19, page 20, page 21, and now we are on page number Mama Killian. On page Mama Killian, which is now something that is on the last page of the short document. And then we'll come back to page 24. So now we are on page 22, Mama Killian. On page 21, actually page 21, sorry. On page 21, that the third line from the top. The top of 21, this is Mama Killian's recommendation. Sorry, that the third line from the top of the page after the word operationalization to insert discussions between minister and minister of finance was ongoing to ensure finalization. Excess capital in Coast Bank was in an amount of 1.3 billion and should legislation not be finalized, it could be regarded as unused capital. The cut-off date for this finalization of the first step of acquiring the banking license was June 2018 and has been complied with. Is that what you were saying?
What I've raised with Ajira, and by the way, when she phoned me, I was busy doing my jogging. No, what I was raising with her was the issue of the fact that Mark Barnes informed us that there is SAPU. It sits on capital. I think the amount that they used
was 5 billion.
Eight billion. Yes. 8 billion, which is currently not considered as part of. Now, I don't think he called it excess money. There's another description for it.
Perhaps I can.
Yes.
I think, through you, Chair, I think what Mr. Barnes was saying was that he's got 8 billion in post-bank capital that could be more effectively used if they were a commercial bank. I think, if you look at their 8 billion, it's generally invested in low-interest-bearing investments. I think what Mr. Barnes is meaning to do by turning Postbank into a transactional bank is you then lend out 80% of that 8 billion to the unbanked, call it, or to customers of the bank at a higher interest than they would get from their interest-bearing investment. I think that's the meaning of what he was trying to say. And because they don't have a transactional license, it means the bank is stuck in a situation where they can't do that. So he referred to it as, I don't think he said unused capital, but he was making the point that capital could be employed more
much more, yeah, to derive more value,
yeah,
more return,
yeah, more leverage, better return,
leverage,
better,
yes,
return.
Okay.
How do we formulate it? I would like to suggest that we say the following. The committee noted that discussions between the Minister and the Minister of Finance is ongoing to ensure the finalisation of relevant legislation. The committee was concerned that the Postbank was currently sitting on plus minus 8 billion capital, which could be used to leverage for the benefit of this entity and SAPO. And then, in addition, the cut-off date for the finalisation of the acquiring of the banking licence was June 2018. However, you see, what I understood, and can I just interrupt myself, is that they would have to reapply for the same licence if it lapses, and they're still not operational. So they must start the process again. So if the necessary changes to legislation is not done before the end of June, the whole process starts afresh. So we've then again lost, you know. So I just wanted to recommend that we then say, the committee further notes that the cut-off date for the finalization of, the banking license is due to lapse at the end of June 2018. The application.
Yeah.
That's
application for the banking license.
So, Chair, if I can assist, it's actually the deadline for completion.
That's it.
It's a deadline.
It's a deadline for completion of the process.
To apply for a banking.
In two steps. The banking license is in two steps, apparently. The first step has been complied with, the cut-off date being June 2018. That step has been complied with. They would, in that respect, now they're on the second step, requesting the decision from the South African Reserve Bank. I just spoke to the company secretary this morning, and he gave me this information.
Okay.
So it's in two steps. But the one has been complied with, step one.
Okay, Baba Mackenzie, you coming?
Thank you, Chair. As I understood it, the only obstacle to the approval of this banking license is the fact that the Banks Act specifically says that state-owned companies, you know, cannot have a banking license.
So that's what is now underway.
That's the legislation that needs to be amended.
Yes. I'm saying that's now the legislation that is now within the parliamentary system as we speak.
Chair.
Yeah.
Do we know that? Have
yes.
we seen it ATC'd? The reason why I'm asking is we know that there are discussions. But
okay.
You know, between the cup and the lip, there are many slips.
Okay. Can I just perhaps for the benefit of members raise? You remember that in the last meeting I was instructed by committee to speak to the minister. I approached the minister, and at that time I was informed that the president had actually had called both the Minister of Finance and the Minister of this portfolio about the very matter. And as I speak now, if you can speak to your colleagues in the Finance Committee that is chaired by, not Finance, who's...
It will be Finance.
Who's
Karim.
The Karim.
Karim.
Is it Finance? Karim is busy with that bill. Now he's in front of that committee. I spoke to Karim. Yes.
Well, I thought he said no, had no knowledge of it last week.
Okay, but I spoke to Karim last week. And he said to me, they've got the bill. I said, please, that bill you can actually pass in the very first meeting. So, that bill is with Karen. I asked him personally. Try and take my word for it. If not, I'll...
Put it this way, as of last week, he hasn't told his committee about it.
Oh, yeah, possibly, because when I spoke to him, I was actually in caucus, in the ANC caucus. I'm telling you the secrets of the ANC now.
Confusion.
I actually spoke to him, and I said to him, listen, we are stuck. I want to have a meeting with you. The bill. He said, no, the bill is with me. So I assume that it has already been, Baba Mackenzie?
Thank you, Chair. I think when you're talking about the bill, you're talking about the EFS amendment to the Bank Act.
Mackenzie. No.
That's been ABC.
What was ABC last year?
The only amendment I can think of, thank you, Chair, that I'm aware of.
You put through a private amendment book. It was published, it was ABC last year. Just a one line basically on what
the which is it?
Yeah. But is it from the EFF or is it from...
Well, I don't know. I was not interested as to where it's coming from, as long as they will process it. Just to change that, it shall include, because that's what it means. But if we need more details, when we finally approve this thing, even if it's during another lunch, either tomorrow or whatever, I can brief the committee. Mama Killian?
Okay, Chairperson, as long as we capture this under our observation, because I think it would be seriously remiss of us if we don't capture this in our report. As a very urgent matter, because it has been toing and froing for so many months that we now want to see action.
Okay, but yes, I agree that in our report, we can't report what I'm saying, because that's not what we processed as a committee. So our report must bring the agency of the finalization of that act before the end of June.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that not sufficient, or should we add? What should we add? The committee.
Yes. Yeah, we must actually bring the date that this process must be concluded by, this is page 21. Page 21, the committee was concerned that the delay in acquisition of the banking license was caused by a misalignment bank that has come. No, I think this is fine. This is an observation, eh?
Okay.
Now, but here, when Madam Killian was speaking, where she was talking about there's this amount that must turn into this thing, and then here you are talking about the June 2018, that the finalization of the process of the enactment should be finalized by the deadline, which is June 2018, whichever way we phrase it.
So we'll add it to the observation.
Parliament is no longer in session. The last sitting of Parliament is probably the first week in June. And that's my worry, too. That's my worry. My worry is that we're actually adopting the budget votes on the 25th of May. And I think there may be a sitting in the first week of June, but thereafter it's committee time. 2 weeks of committee oversight, meetings as well as that. So it is end of May. That is what we should say. That bill must be processed through Parliament before the end of May.
Well, I think that's going to be a bit of a problem. We can't instruct Parliament.
No.
We can negotiate for Parliament. Remember, we are making a recommendation. But based on the things that came out of this thing, we're not thumbsucking the June 7, 2018. So all we're saying is this thing must be approved, concluded with, before the deadline, which is the end of June.
Before the end of parliamentary sitting.
Otherwise, it's got to be legislated, and we have to approve the legislation.
Yes, but I'm saying.
There is the recommendation we can just add.
Okay.
Ensure that dealing with the was fast track and finalized cooperation. Yeah, ahead of the deadline, which is June. Okay, can we look at this bullet? Perhaps we
page
use
22.
Page 22,
yeah.
Bullet number 3. Bullet number 2. that ensure that legislation dealing, is this now a recommendation?
This is a recommendation.
Ensure that legislation due with the banking license is fast-tracked and finalized with the cooperation of government and the relevant portfolio ahead of the deadline, which is end of June. And then all we can do is really to push them on the side, yourselves as members in the DA and those in the EFF and those in the ANC, we can only just push them because they may not know the agency of finalizing the bill now. So, okay, it's one of those things. Perhaps it came one of the, so they may not prioritize, but if they make sure that because it's one line, that actually the next sitting, if they can meet once and they agree, they don't even need public participation, I assume. Don't know. You see that one? It's going to be one of the problems we may have, the public participation.
What, obviously, my memory doesn't go that far back to the previous parliament when this legislation was discussed and promulgated and passed. There obviously was a public participation then on the relevance of amending the Banking Act, the Bank Act. Can we not check that, whether there was discussion on public participation on that back in 1942 or whenever it was, and use that and say that was it has already had public participation?
Well, it will not be a bill in front of us, remember? It's a bill in front of another committee. Now, we have several court rulings. Where decisions were taken, because remember, we are talking now about public entity. It's quite a huge shift in policy. And the Reserve Bank must still also come into the picture. And you cannot escape. You cannot escape the public participation. But we must also remember that the deadline may be a matter that would apply in the application, but not in the law. So once the legal process kick-started, they don't have to apply again because already the first step of the process has started. So if the bill is already in the system, whether it gets approved in December, there shouldn't be a crisis. There is no need to reapply because the.
You know what the bank says.
Sorry, sir. Sorry,
sir. It would depend on whether the bank says that it's.
I guess it's a question of applying your application lapses by time X unless it has been kickstarted. I think that's something that we must go and verify. If once Parliament starts to with the enactment, and therefore the lapsing, even if it happens, it doesn't affect the license because the license is not a law-making process. I mean, application is a process, but the law-making process can't be overridden by an application that has lapsed. It just doesn't go. Okay, in the legislation, they can then legislate back or correct the application retrospectively on the day of lapsing so that it should not be viewed as something that has lapsed. It's very easy to do it in law. The lawyers will advise them appropriately, but I will follow up as well. Mama Killian?
Okay. I think we know what should happen. The question now is, Chair, what do we say in bullet two? By the way, I would like to recommend that we just change the heading slightly. The committee recommends that the minister and the department, because the minister is the one who is the political head. The department is the executive, is the administrative arm of the executive.
Yeah.
So that we say the committee recommends that the minister and the department should actively support SAPU by facilitating the following. Because unless we get the minister and the department to actually come to the party, you know, SAPU cannot fight its own battle. So that would be my recommendation. Then I would like to say in the second bullet, I would like to suggest the following. Ensure that legislation dealing with the operationalization of the post bank, you know, was fast tracked and finalized before the last sitting day of the current session.
The problem with such a clause, you are recommending to Parliament. Now, what must Parliament adopt?
The Parliament adopts the fact that we are saying to the Minister, Minister, you make sure that you engage with Minister of Finance, etc. But he must lobby on behalf of SAPL to get this through. This is what Parliament adopts. So Parliament stamps our recommendation that the Minister must ensure that this happens.
Okay, it's fine.
Because
are
we
you,
can't, as you correctly say, we can't recommend to Parliament. Parliament adopts our recommendation. So we can only recommend to the Department and the Minister to do X, Y, and Z.
Madam McKenzie? Are you helping this regard?
I am, it's progressive. Could we not say ensure that the legislative hurdles, remaining legislative hurdles,
okay,
dealing with the banking license or post bank or fast tracks and fine lines.
Okay, that's good.
Are we fine?
Yeah, that's fine.
Good.
Thanks for the spot. Good.
Okay. And we'll leave this in.
And then
we'll leave that.
Now, let's put the date.
Yeah.
Put the date. Because it must always remind whoever that that's the end of the... We want that as a deadline.
So ensure that
the
hurdles, remaining...
Hurdles, yes. In the
hurdles, dealing with the banking license and post-bank was fast-tracked and finalized with cooperation of all government departments and relevant portfolio committees ahead of the deadline, which is June.
That's fine. Page 22. You still want, that's Ms. Killian, the page 22, second bullet. Do you still want us, the Minister, to come and report back?
No, it's okay.
Let's drop this one, Ajira. Okay. And then let's go back to page number 23. I just want to go back now to the previous page. We've got nothing on page 23, we've got something on page 24. At the conclusion of bullet on page 24, on the bullet, that third bullet that's highlighted there on top, third bullet, at the end of the sentence that we include, the committee was of the view that this was a huge amount to be spent on the maintenance of the service, which would have been prevented had BDM. Let's do this thing. Sentec issue. The committee noted with concern that Sentec spent $32 million on preventative maintenance costs to support network continuity to enable delivery of broadcasting signal distribution. The committee was of the view that this was a huge amount to be spent on maintenance of services, which should have been prevented.
Which could have been prevented.
Which or could...
Is it not or would have been prevented.
Which would have been
yeah.
prevented
yeah.
had
been, would have been,
been had implemented on schedule. Yeah, which is
yeah.
Yeah.
It's correct.
That's perfect.
Good. On page... That's the only thing on page 24, 25. Page 25... 14.1.
Yeah, there's a new page 25. I agree.
You agree?
No.
No. Wait. No, we are done with 24.
Yeah, it, this moved. It wasn't on my page. It moved to 24. It's the deliberation you started.
Yes, that's where I am. Am
yes.
I right? 14.1.
The end of 24.
Yes. 14.1. The committee noted with concern that Sentec has... Oh, no, we are done with that one.
We with you, sir.
Where is this now? Is this 14.1? Yes. The committee identified various inaccuracies in the annual performance plan submitted to it and raise such concerns with USASA. The entity indicated that it would have to in order to comply with the request.
This is what Ms. Shin is suggesting.
The committee, we had written that the committee granted USASA until 27th April to submit an amended annual performance. At the time of drafting this report, USASA failed to submit the report even after several, what you call. USASA submitted the revised annual, but this is not discussed in the...
Okay.
Wait a minute, just wait. Okay. Now, Mama Shin was saying, the committee awaits the DTPS withdrawal from Parliament of the original and tabling of the revised.
Yeah.
Wait, no, I know, the two of you agree. I don't agree with the two of you.
Okay.
Look, colleagues, the procedure is not what we should be preoccupied about. I don't think we should be, because we don't even know how they do it. We are not part, it's part, not part of us. It's something that happens between the executive and the legislature. We have told them, the head of the parliament, whatever, those people, USASA, to submit the date by 27 April. Now, we can't say we expect of the department to withdraw, because it's a procedure that we have no jurisdiction on as a committee. So I don't want us to get into something that is not part of our responsibility and mandate. We were expecting that thing to be submitted by 27. As to how it happened, it's an administrative matter. I don't think we should get involved there. That's my view. Mama Killian, Mama Shin.
I hear what you're saying. Can I just say somehow there was a piece that slipped out of this paragraph that is now on this new document. And I think that was important because there we stipulated that the committee granted USASA until the 27th of April.
Yes.
And that very important section has now disappeared.
That's the suggestion by Ms. Shin.
Yeah.
It should look
so
like
I
that.
I don't think we should let that fall off. I think we should retain that. Now what is at issue is whether we include the last recommendation, and that is the committee awaits DTPS withdrawal from Parliament. I don't necessarily support that sentence. What I do support is we need to make sure, because this is a very formal process. APPs and strategic plans are submitted to the Speaker. There's a deadline. Usually it goes through the department, because the entity cannot just submit straight to us. Now, if we say to the entity, we have noted these errors in your document, go and correct it. Obviously, we must expect from the entity to go the same route, and that is to go through the minister's office to resubmit to us. So whether we are going to proceed with the information on the report, we will have to deliberate on that, because somehow I see that some of the same mistakes that were in the previous documentation are still in this document. But I just wanted to say, we must have certainty from Parliament that they don't file the APP that we have rejected, but that Parliament will file the revised one that has gone through the right process.
I think that's administrative. That's exactly what I was trying to say. It's administrative. Okay, Mama Shin, before I respond. Mama Shin?
Chair, yeah, I just thought it was important to document that we couldn't, for the purposes of this report, engage with USASA's document. We needed to document that they had submitted and we rejected and they were resubmitting. Because we needed, and we hadn't yet engaged with the resubmitted document. Because, you know, I mean, the process is that they might, I don't know if they did submit it to the department by the 27th of April. I'm not party to that. But the thing is that we, for this report, not evaluate USASA.
I agree.
And we need to actually record that.
Exactly.
We need to
That's
record
fine.
It. I agree.
Yes, that's why the document says, as of at the drafting of the document, we had not received, and therefore it is assumed. But if you want us to qualify, and therefore the committee has not deliberated,
yeah,
on the...
We accepted this report, we have not deliberated on the revised report.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
We can say that.
Here. They failed to submit, da-da-da-da-da, and then you say, you remove this thing, and you say, the committee has thus not deliberated on the USASA APP. That is for Parliament to note that the committee has not dealt with the thing. And then page 25... Okay, now we are on page 25, we are done, 27, 28, we're actually going to page 32. Yes, page 32, there is an insertion here by Mama Shin, bullet what? The committee expressed concern on Zadna. Yeah, it's bullet number three. The committee expressed concern that Zadna was acting outside its mandate as its main purpose was to stimulate domain registration growth. Zadna responded that it was acting within its mandate in that its role was guided by the Act, which merely requires to create awareness and that domain names a part of the internet governance. So, is this how a reworked one, this one?
Yeah.
Zadna said its role was not to collect statistics on domain names, which is true.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
My point is that how do they know their campaign is successful unless they monitor acceptance?
They couldn't tell you.
They couldn't. Yeah.
They couldn't. Because they said...
But they have research capacity. They should be able to... No marketing entity goes out into the world and markets stuff without being able to measure whether it's been effective.
Yeah. So we then say, what? Just formulate the recommendation, Mama Shin.
okay.
Having noted all those things, we are saying...
Needs to monitor the success, must monitor whether their campaigns to raise awareness, must research whether its campaigns to raise domain name awareness is increasing the number of ZA registrations or something like that. Well, so just whether it's increasing.
Record any successes.
Yeah.
That's what you said in the meeting. It's fair. Yeah.
You know, otherwise they're just spending money without knowing
that it's
being a
key
impact.
Mwe. Could you just repeat, Michelle? Sorry about that.
Yeah, she's saying...
That's the difficulty.
...that Zadna needs to research whether their campaign strategy does record any success. Otherwise, they're shooting in the dark and they're unable to account for it. So it's just that short sentence, whether they are getting results out of their campaign mission.
And that will be a recommendation.
Yes, that's what they must research, part of the recommendation. Mama, are you on your way?
Chairperson, if you will just give me a little break. I just have to go to the office of the speaker.
Anyway, we are dealing with the last item on the agenda. Page number 33, you are free.
And then yourself, the officer.
Yes.
I will come back soon.
Okay, good. On page 33, there is bullet number. Ensure that it acts within. Bullet number 3 of the recommendation 18.1.2.3. Ensure that.
It repeats basically. To be cut it out of the previous observation. And just leave it as this page sit as this insert here, which is basically that it's monitored the effectiveness of these projects.
Okay, you say we must remove the ensure and say.
Ensure that it acts within its mandate to promote projects that stimulate domain registration growth
and monitor
and statistics and monitor effectiveness of these projects in increasing domain names.
It's actually.
So let's cut out the previous one from page 32.
Do you get it?
Yes.
Now, the drop the 32 one, it actually comes here. Do you get it?
No.
The one that you spoke earlier on, that was just an observation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a concrete recommendation that they monitor the effectiveness of their.
They gather
statistics.
Gather statistics.
And monitor effectiveness.
Of their project in increasing.
Is that a domain? Yeah. Do you get it? Here. You discard that one that we just dealt with now on page 32 because it's an observation. But here, to say that they monitor and gather information or data that monitor the. They gather the information, monitor the effectiveness of their campaign, what I call on the projects, of the projects in the increasing of .za name registration. So it's more of gathering that information so that when they are asked to account, the son say it's not none of our business, we don't know. Whether we did register one or there's nothing, so it can't work.
So we discard that part.
Yeah, that one is an observation.
We leave it.
We can leave it as it is. And this one, then, encryption. So we will not adopt the report.
Mm-hmm.
We will.
Can we?
You're
saying that those figures are the same as those in the presentation. Eric has responded to say that the figures he used was the same given in the presentation.
Yeah, but this is the document that's not responded.
So he shouldn't. So then the presentation is incorrect to that document.
It seems so. So
surely this is. He's saying, I can just read what he's saying. Those figures are the same as those in the DPS presentation. The only figures is used of because the department has split the funding of the two projects. For yourself, and I added them into one total. Okay, and then he said, with regard to transfers, I did the same thing, but the total is the same. Same as in the presentation.
Well, this is the document that's not in the Parliament, not the presentation. So we will obviously
with a vote. So what we may need to do is, who's this guy that you're talking to?
This is Eric, our content advisor, drafted.
Okay. What we may need to do. Where is the? But the report, you know, our report in Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
One would assume that they have the same figures. If the figures are not the same, then there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, what you can say to him, he must reconcile his figures from the presentation against the ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. In Parliament that has been tabled. That is there for record. The report. Correct. Exactly. So he must check it against the formal audited reports that have been formally tabled.
And
in
not the
Parliament. And not the presentation can be anything. Yeah? I may have spent a few, taken a few glasses in the morning. And there's no cleaning of data and what have you. Colleagues, I think we are fine. And so it's just that we'll just look at the figures and then we'll call you urgently for a meeting during lunch or breakfast. It may possibly not be today, but we'll give you a short notice. Hajira will make sure that she runs us all off. Once we finalize the details, and then we can always meet, we can just sneak out and say, circulate it to all of us once
sure.
We've done the, what we call, Shajira, and then attach a notice that says, you take that decision yours, you dictate to all of us and tell us, I want to see all of you by time X in place X. and then we'll try and do exactly that.
I'll send the message.
And then we will then be ready for our debate, which takes place next week, Thursday. Huh? Is it Thursday? No, I think it's Wednesday. Why does it say it's Wednesday in my head? But it's fine. It's the, what is the date? Whatever the date, it's fine.
The date is the, for the adoption of the
yeah.
report? It's
the 17th? No. Yeah, for the debate.
For the debate.
It's the 17th.
17th.
Yes. So 17th, whether it's on a Thursday or Friday or Wednesday, it's fine.
Wednesday
is the debate. Please, you...
Thursday.
Yes. It's okay. It's fine. Doesn't matter.
Are you going to pitch it?
Sorry?
Are you going to pitch on the right day?
On that day. I'll be there. Colleagues, I think we're done with our report, and therefore we're going to invite the chief director with his team, with her team. We were hoping that the deputy minister would have been here by this time as well, but she's not here. How far?
She
left the airport. Coming this way or going somewhere? Okay. But we're not going to wait for her, although we would have preferred to have, because this, but yeah, chief director, you cannot sit at the on the back seat. You are the leader, you are the boss. So one so the battery yes, a man of the one thing to end with a guy in the room. It's a brief. It's a brief, I'm sure. Why are you feeling it? I'm sure I'm a fan now.
No, but I mean, I'm at the end of the meeting.
But here we are.
Until the
daughter
only 30 minutes.
Okay.
The children are
okay, apologies. Colleagues, just for record, the member was, she was hijacked from, rudely hijacked from our meeting without our authority. Science and technology was not supposed to sit today. They decided to sit and she decided to defy this meeting and go to that meeting without the authority of the chair and the whip. But the concern was that I thought she's strolling somewhere. But if she was at work, then I think let's accept her apology.
Chair, off the record, this legislative change with the postman, and I think we've been very soft in the committee, actually, on the people who've been responsible for the corporatization of the postman. Because over all these years, there wasn't one of those researchers or one of those project managers that looked and said, oh, hang on a minute, there's a problem here with the bank.
No, there was nothing wrong. There was everything right. Look. Okay. No. You're right. But I think the concern, they did tell us that Treasury was the one who said, thou shalt not, I am not going to support. Not that there's anything wrong, but they had to make sure that they do not expose the bank to the sharks. That's it. I can't agree more. I think they did a good thing. She must commend Treasury for the stance that they took.
Yes. Our financial services, yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Most of us to use their savings.
Exactly.
To bail them out.
You see? Otherwise, would be 8 billion less. You see what's happening in our other entity? And I was actually, just for the members, whilst we were waiting for USASA to come. No, it's formal. I approached the portfolio. I mean, I've seen... The meeting is on. Can you have that there? When I picked up in the media as well as in the discussions in SCOPA about our entity CETA. It was a matter of serious concern that SCOPA seems to be dealing with an oversight matter, not with matters that are coming from the Auditor General. They were dealing with operational issues. I then approached the Chief Whip and said, I met with the chairperson of the portfolio on police because I held a view that with these developments, and indeed I had also received a complaint about certain things that are happening, which the CEO had in a way raised in our meeting, although he didn't disclose. You remember Madam Mchina even said, after the meeting, I want to have a meeting with him. You also had a closed meeting with the CEO. I then approached the chair of police and said, perhaps we need a joint meeting ourselves and the portfolio committee on police to look at the CETA matter, because the allegations that there are police, former police, that are siphoning monies out of that entity, inflated prices and a host of other things. So I wanted us to jointly have a discussion on this thing.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, whilst I was taking my formal route, SCOPA called them in. But like I said, I raised the matter with the Chief Whip to the fact that I feel it's fine what they've done, but there is a danger that SCOPA could become an oversight committee in the process.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, no, he was not aware. He said, actually, yeah, he actually never took the matter serious, but he will actually see whether that matter gets directed to where it belongs, because I felt it's actually part of our responsibility. We can't also, in the public eye, we can't be seen ourselves and them fiddling in the same space. It would look very ugly. But yeah, that matter, if there is a final arrest of the process and it be properly directed, we'll then have a joint meeting, which may need part of it to require the Intelligence Committee to look at, because things are not very good. Quite a few billions have gone down going down the drain. Actually, if we thought the Gupta was a bad thing, that could actually be worse.
I'm sort of admire the ingenuity of these people. Yeah. But you could channel towards more constructive endeavors.
Yeah. Are we fine? Are we ready? We are going to quick start with our meeting. Like I said, we have called USASA back to this committee and welcome back Chairperson and your team, as well as the Chief Director. The Chairperson approached me this morning and said today he's declaring a fight against me. Now, I want him to put it on record that that's what he is planning to do, because I did find it a bit strange that he would come and make such a statement. But he'll come and restate what he had said, because I really on behalf of the committee, view it in a very serious light. We have a responsibility assigned by the Constitution to oversight the organs of state, to scrutinize and oversee executive action. That's part of our responsibility, and any of its organs. And this process entails informal and formal matters, watchful, strategic, and structural scrutiny and exercise of legislation. And indeed, part of our responsibility is to ensure that we do thorough oversight, effective oversight over government and its departments. So, and we have a mandate to conduct these measures appropriately, including receiving briefings from organs and making findings, even do site visits. So we have a range of responsibilities assigned to us by an act of law to do this responsibility. Now, in carrying out our responsibilities, we have a right to summon anybody to appear before the committee and give evidence, sometimes even under an oath. We have a right to direct people to report to the committee. We have a right to compel anybody, in terms of national legislation and the rules, to comply with our directives. And it is, amongst others, various reasons, in line with Rule 167 and rules and procedure of the National Assembly, that we have called USASA into our meeting. USASA appeared before us. We looked at their document. We are unhappy with the range of things in that document. The chairperson requested that they go and relook at the document because they had worked on more than five documents. So we assume that it shouldn't be really a complex issue. It's something that they have and ready to avail to ourselves. They wanted 14 days, and we told them, no, you can't have 14 days. We gave them up to the 27th of April to present their revised APP. I could see that in the correspondence between Algeria, and the entity and the department, there were several correspondence, almost on a daily basis, that she's been trying to remind them that we want that thing. 27 this year, 27 past, to date we have not received. I don't know when we received the document, but I saw it now over the weekend. I don't know when it was received, I think. According to the information, it was only received on the 27th, on the 2nd of May. Now, received on the 2nd of May without even courtesy from USASA to apologize in advance that they were unable to submit that report. 5 days down the line, it's only then that we get the report, Chairperson and the Chief Director. So the reason why I wanted the minister to be part of this meeting is that we should make it very clear that when we do our work, we don't ask, we don't request, we demand that those things should happen. Departments are assigned responsibilities which is subject to the law of this country, and this being the supreme law of the country. Entities operate under the laws enacted by this parliament. One of the laws that they work under would be your, that established in terms of the ECA Act. You have this other law that you had to abide with. Now, this process that we are busy with here, it's not a game. We are busy with a lawmaking process. When we pass the budget, it's a lawmaking process. So USASA has actually impeded, deliberately so, the working of this committee to adhere with its law-making dictates. And it's a serious offense. It's a serious offense. We've just concluded our report without having interrogated your matter because you have not submitted your APP. But secondly, there were questions that were asked by members. I've not received them from Nigeria. I don't know whether they were submitted as well. Because the chairperson had made an undertaking that we will submit. I know, the members forced me on that day. He said, but let them respond. I said, no, they withdrew the document. And the chairperson had undertaken that they will attach an addendum to the APP with those responses. But we also had requested another document, and I don't know whether you finally had received it, on the action that was taken by the board, which we don't have a problem with, to deal with their own internal matters, suspend. Whoever they decide to suspend, it's fine, it's their own issue. But we should have been notified, and the chair had undertaken that information had come to us, and I haven't seen it. Have you?
I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen it as well. So there are all these things that are not happening appropriately between Parliament and USASA, which obviously is a responsibility that Chief Director, you are responsible for the entity. Through the Minister, we receive budgets. I mean, you made requests for budgets, and through them, we approve budgets that finally get allocated to the department as well as the entities. And it is you, the department, that disperses those finances to the entities. It is you who do oversight over those entities. Things that you do direct to do that by an act of parliament. Deputy Minister, welcome. We had received your apology. Indeed, you had called me even earlier on to inform me about your delays. So we had tried to reschedule the matter for 11, but they did say that you are leaving from the airport. Why you? I was asking whether you're coming here or you going somewhere else. He said, no, you are coming straight. So thank you, you're here. I've already outlined to the colleagues here in front about our displeasure with USASA, their defiance to submit to Parliament on the date at which they were directed to. That as a result of that, we are unable to deal with their document. We take our work very serious, and we expect everyone else to take their work serious. And perhaps for record, I must raise this thing, Deputy Minister. When the chair arrives in the morning, and I don't know whether he was playing games or he was really meaning it, because I'm seated here as a chair, he says to me, today I'm declaring war against you. Now, I find it very, very problematic for a chairperson of an entity to say to the chair of a committee, I'm declaring war against you. I don't have authority to declare war against anybody. I'm holding this position assigned by the Constitution, the rules of Parliament, the PFMA, and the laws passed by Parliament. Now, for anybody, no minister, no president has ever said what the chair said. Now, I asked him, I don't know whether he meant it or he was joking, but indeed, because I'm not his friend. I mean, when you joke with a person who doesn't know you, it's a very dangerous thing. But I said perhaps I must put it on record so that members understand that I was threatened this morning that he's going to declare war. It means it's declaring war against the committee, declaring war against Parliament. I'm saying it's a very dangerous thing to do. It's a dangerous game ball to play. And for record, I wanted to put that in. And I've already narrated the issues that we are unable to do our work as Parliament because we have not received all the things we were promised to be submitted. We expected the APP. On the 27th, it had not arrived. We expected the responses which the chair had committed to submit with the APP. We haven't received. We had expected a letter that he said they thought they had sent it about the suspension of the CEO. We have not received all those documents. So it's just a complete defiance, as I would call it, by the department and the entity, because nobody has cared to tell us why are we not getting the things that we're supposed to be getting. I don't know whether members want to have anything to say, or you're fine with my representation of you. Fine. That's why we have all of yourselves here today.
Chairperson.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, if I can just wade in here. Over the last 4 years, we've had an opportunity to engage as a committee with several entities. And clearly, USASA, certainly when we started, was a very poorly performing entity. And I know the chairperson was very embarrassed during our oversight visit to Limpopo to find the state that the organization was in. So I think it's been a very uphill process for you. As far as this goes, I must be honest, chairperson, during our last meeting, I thought we made very little effort to accommodate Utoa and his board. And I thought maybe we could have been a little bit more flexible. But I sense that in a time, chairperson, that we've been exceptionally hard on this gentleman in particular. And I'm not sure why. Maybe
please don't nod in the meeting, chairperson. That behavior can never be tolerated. You can't come here and nod. It's a very strange culture. Why are you doing that? Huh? Why are you doing this? Mr. McKenzie, on the floor.
Thank you, dear, for that intervention. I'm just saying, I've never heard within this committee, and heaven alone knows we've dealt with some horrendous entities here, including the SAPO that loses billions and billions every year. We've never adopted such a harsh tone with anybody from any of the entities. And I'm just wondering, maybe behind the scenes, if there's information that we don't know, or the phone lines have been busy. You know, obviously, when you suspend your CEO, there's bound to be some sort of acrimony within an organization for that step to be taken. But Chairman, I'm sorry, maybe I'm too soft, but I'm just getting the impression that we're being exceptionally hard on this chairperson of the board, and that maybe, you know, whether our hardness is not too much.
Okay. No, thanks, Mr. McKenzie. Madam Sheen?
Sorry, Chair, so if I can just, this is something I omitted to say last time, was that we've obviously asked USASA to supply us in writing with the reasons why the CEO was suspended. We didn't ask the same thing of NAMESA. And I think that we must actually ask NAMESA as well to please supply reasons why their CEO has been suspended.
Well, I must remind the members, yes, you're right. But what we said, and we didn't say to USASA, because unlike NAMESA appointed one of the board members to be CEO, and we told them point blank that's irregular.
But why would the original CEO suspended? We've got no idea.
Yes, but I'm saying I agree with you. I'm just saying what we actually raised with them, and I'm saying, yes, indeed, we should get that information. But I'm saying over and above that, we raise the issue with them, that they have appointed a chairperson, I mean, one of the board members, which is an irregularity. I don't think that we are harsh. Look, Mr. McKenzie, I come from difficult portfolios. I was a member of the Arts and Culture, where we had Pencil, which for years has defied every rule, including submitting the APPs. We got them going, and they have a clean audit now. Now, softy approaches, that's unfortunately not what I have. I'll be soft on anybody that adheres to law. But if you break the law, once you start to break the law, it is an indicator of serious defiance, and surely if people and yourself, I mean you guys, okay, you guys, colleagues, all honourable members, you fired your members. You can't do that softy softy. You fired your members because you felt they defied.
You fired your president.
We're ordered by you. No. But it's on a serious note. I am a member of parliament. I've been a member of parliament for 25 years now. This law. Yes, definitely. And I must leave on a high note when I go on pension. They must know that this man has got no regard for anybody who defies law. And I'm the first one. If I defy law, I must fall on my sword. Nobody must forgive me. If I steal a cent from the state, I must fall on my sword, and nobody should even have any. I've been in the executive. I've stolen 0 cent from the state. You can go check it. It's my record. And I have no tolerance for anybody who steals from the state as a rule. I get you. I will never tolerate any minister, no president, no CEO, no DG, who defies a committee of parliament. It's a simple rule. You do right, you are my biggest friend. You do wrong, you are my declared enemy, because you're fighting this, you're fighting parliament. So I'm protecting parliament, and I stick by the rules of parliament, my Bob McKenzie. It's a simple thing. If they had said we will deliver on the 27th, and they at least take courtesy to write and say, sorry man, we will not deliver on the 2nd, I mean on the 27th, allow us to deliver in November. We have very big problems. At least you've taken the committee serious by communicating. But if you don't communicate, what should I do? What must I say to you? I've not done my work. I've not followed up. I checked Hygera every day. I said, did you remind them? He said, yes, there's a proof. There's proof. So that's my work. That's what I get paid to do. So anybody who defies parliament, I am never going to protect. I'm sure you're clear, Baba McKenzie. Are you fine?
Yes, Chairman. Just the tone.
I'll tone down. But it's okay. But yes, no, I've raised issues. I get angry when people don't respect law, when they don't respect the law. And they must know it. Whoever works with me, the ministers that work with me, they know. If they stand on the wrong side, we can go and have drink, a coffee and wine, but in parliament, no, they're not my friends, they are accounting. They are ANC members, ANC deputy minister, ANC minister. We can have a nice drink there, but in parliament, the separation of power, they are accounting to this committee. They are no more my friends in a committee. It's a straightforward matter. Am I fighting with you, DM? I state the obvious, the correct things. I'm back to yourselves. DM and your contingent. Parliament was able to carry out its responsibility because you have not adhered to what you had promised to do.
Thank you, Chair. I will firstly, as the chairperson did explain, I will extend my apologies for arriving late. And like I said earlier, I will apologize for the inconvenience of this particular court. I will allow you first, chairperson, to speak to the conference. I know last time you had a great on the report being submitted on the 27th. But unfortunately, from our side, you only received it after 11 p.m. on the 26th, and the 27th was holiday, so we couldn't forward it as a department, hence the forwarded it on the 2nd from our side. So we
still couldn't forward it on the 27th. I'm going to arrive after 11 midnight. That's where we will then get into the other issues that have been raised. Chairperson?
Thanks, Peter. Thanks for the opportunity. Morning, Chair, and thanks for the opportunity. Morning, members, honorable members. I think firstly, I want to just put a context to the threat. First, please, I don't have guns. I cannot fight you. You know, my comment was in good spirit in terms of the exchange you did last time. I don't want to let the team what you said last time, but I thought, you know, we were gentlemanly enough to actually understand this thing. So, but then I understand that the next time I mustn't, so I apologize for it. I don't want to say what you said last time, but it's fine. Let's keep it there. So I apologize for that. I don't have guns. I'll never declare war. Definitely. Now, coming to lot of things you've raised. First, I want to say we've been coming here quite a number of instances reporting. And when I joined USARPA 2015 September, and when I was acting chair from December last year, after the exit of Khadebe, I was coming here leading this team for quite a while, and we took USARPA from what it was incrementally to where it is now in terms of a lot of things. I don't want to actually talk about those things, that is just to give us a ground. And to this last instance, when we came here and presented the report that we presented, and thank you for all the highlights you made, you know, from binding all those type of things. And that meeting, because of the exchange we sometimes had with the team, the last which we agreed on, and hence we went to rectify things as per our agreement. And it's a pity that is actually is going to like creating a serious lapse in terms of the pedigree or the brand that myself and my team were actually building as far as USARPA is concerned. And I hope you are not going to take that and draw a line going back to say this USARPA looks like it's not getting better. I think it has. Despite all the appeals we've had throughout the period. Now, the report that we submitted, yes, the DM is correct at night, but the team was also working on other things, but this report was critical, and it was sent exactly the same day we had promised you, and obviously our principal said to have a side of it, so that's why it was late. So extending what the sort of DM is saying, also extending our purpose as far as that. Now concerning the annexure that was supposed to encompass that report, the team thought rather than putting it there, I know it's against the spirit of what we discussed that day, they must rather give you a copy today of your assistant and then ask you later on it. And again, if you didn't like that, I'm sorry, because again, it's not in terms of what we agreed on. Now, the third point in terms of the CO issue, you know, we actually, as we normally do, I think it's something that we need to clarify in this meeting, whether we need to talk directly to you or talk via our principals. So throughout the years, because for us, whether we talk to our principals, via our principals when we talk to you, it's actually coming to you in any way, the information. It's just that to make sure that if there's any scrutiny that is necessary for them to have side of that and to do that. That's how we've been working throughout, you know, the years. So the information you requested as far as the CEO, we followed that protocol and sent it on time to our principals. And we're hoping that they are going to send it to you. So if you don't have that information, we've got it there, we can send it to you, you know, immediately. We were not aware that you didn't get the information. So, but that's how we work, you know. But in this meeting, or sometimes that something that we can look at is probably guidelines in terms of getting indicator from you what type of information we need us to copy and send it to you directly. You know, and it's fine for us, we can do that if we need to work that way. So really, before I hand over to my team to actually talk about the issues, it's just to say, you know, when we took over from USASA, some of us, it was not a good organization. And we've worked very hard to get it where it is now. We've had problems, but we were working through those problems. And this is normal with any organization that we have problems, as long as there's incremental improvement and there's constant management. You see, I mean, through the reports that we are giving, that lots of stuff has been done, including sorting out irregularities, which are very serious because it involves lots of money. And this team has worked very hard to actually, because in this particular as well, throughout my experience, because I'm coming from JC listed company, so this is my first experience of the group executive of a big company. What I've learned is big money, there's always problems when you've got people. So really, but if you've got your systems right, and most importantly, you've got people that really are living their conditions and doing what is right, which the thin line, you know, and that's what we're dealing with at USASA. We eat with manufacturing companies outside, who some of them are paid triple what they're supposed to pay, to be paid, and then on top of that, they take us to court for additional money, being variants and so on. We find out what type of people are these. So we're dealing with all that, and it's something that we cannot fold arms and say they must look the same way. So we're dealing with all that, and luckily, in most cases, we will actually find on the right side of the law. So it has been a very interesting journey, you know, until today. Some of us, our term is going to end soon, and we hope whoever is going to come on board will take this train and do the right thing, because what we want is to leave a good foundation for whoever is going to come. So without waiting any do, let me hand over to my team.
Wait, sir. Don't rush. Well, the procedure that you have spoken about, how you communicate with Parliament, is the correct procedure. So when we say we want a particular document by time X, by day X, we want it from whichever conduit you use to come to us, which is normally the department. So we are saying we have received this document. We have not received your responses to queries by members of Parliament. Neither have we received the letter that you said then that you had sent. So we don't have that information. We didn't call you to come and make a presentation. We called you to appear before the committee. If we need to do any presentation, time allowing, we'll allow that. But for now, it's more of an engagement of what we are talking about. So where are these other things? Where are those responses to members?
You know, for instance, sorry. As far as the letter is concerned, we can, you know, I've got it in my email system, or you know, so if you just send it to them, I'm sure you'll answer on that one. Get the minute
Look, Chair. Let me interrupt you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a simple procedural matter,
mm-hmm.
that when you are not chair, you come here, or someone else shows up, our is not leading the delegation.
Mm-hmm.
We must have a formal letter that says, you are not here, you are busy in Russia, or US, or you are sick.
Mm-hmm.
It's a formal thing. It's just one page that says, the CEO is on suspension, based on whatever, and we can't disclose the issues.
Mm-hmm.
This person is acting. So it's a simple procedural issue. Because we must have it in our records. When someone else stands up here and say, I have been sent by the chair, will never accept anybody unless that person is accompanied. First of all, by a letter in advance that says, accept the apology of the chair, he will not be here owing to this question. And then we tender that thing as a formal record for our procedures. And that's why when we start the meeting, we said the DM was held up, she was going to come, she had actually called me, but she had sent a formal letter. The minister is not out of the country. So we have all those records. So if someone must appear and he is not there, we need to formalize our records. It's a procedural issue. So, but indeed, we want those dossiers, we want those that letter, even if it's half a page that says, here's the situation, so that we interact, because the person who comes here must be responsible, but because he's an accounting person. Here we account. That's why I read the press script earlier on to say, if the acting CEO doesn't show up today and he sends someone else, that person must be accompanied by that. Acting CEO is not available, we have sent person X to stand in for the acting. And therefore, when we take a decision, we take a decision against the CEO, whoever is assigned by the entity. Because those are the protocols that applies in our engagements with the executive.
No, thank you, that's exactly what we did. For instance, when we actually decided, when we took a resolution as a board to suspend the CEO and put Stephen Kavis as the acting CEO, we wrote an official letter to the department, actually one-page letter explaining the reason, so on. And I signed that letter. So probably that's the letter I'm going to ask the department to send to you. And that letter was written a month ago, or 2 weeks ago. So I'm sorry if you don't have it. We'll take it as is, and I'm going to ask my sister to send that letter to you as is. Yeah. That's the letter you are referring to right here. We took it for granted that when you get reports from the department, that encompasses that type of correspondence as well from us, for you to know what is happening. That's what we thought. Yeah. As I'm saying, for instance, when we write to you, we write by the department, we don't write directly. Remember last time I said I'm going to investigate this, and our correspondence trace is showing that, because all the correspondence we do by the department. Then the second issue you've raised, for instance, we spoke about this, and because of technical nature of last part of your questions, the CEO sitting next to me, he volunteered that he would rather take you through the document. This is not going to be elaborate. Just for you to see, it's not actually saying probably you don't know some of the things, but we felt it's very important for us to quickly take you through the SA Connect, how it impacts everything, and this document, that's what it has. So that's why we failed to actually give it to you, because we're saying once we've taken the check through the technicalities around SA Connect and so on, then she's going to have the document. And she can actually slide it to other members. It could be sort of, I know you instructed, you've done certain way, but we said, since we're coming here, there's nothing for free. So if you're here, let's take the opportunity, if you've got time, for us to quickly go to take you through the document. So that's the reason.
Which document are you referring to?
I'm doing the question and answer.
Okay. All right. Mr. McKenzie, you wanted to come in?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Just an observation, please, I think to the DM, essentially. These performance plans, the last time they were tabled here, they didn't have the minister's signature. Sorry, dear. The last time these were tabled here, they didn't have the minister's signature, and we sent them back partly on the basis of that. And I noticed that these, if you look at page 8, the official sign off. Again, we don't have a signature from the minister on both these documents. And the indicator of that was that the department had actually seen these documents.
Seal? Thank you for that. It was raised in the last meeting as well. Because if you provide for that space, then you must sign it or you must remove it. Because it's obviously tabled, I assume it's tabled by the department, but surely if such a provision is provided, it must be signed. Otherwise, it's a problem. I know not all departments sign it. Not all entities sign it. I mean, not all entities make provision for their minister to sign. But if you make it, then we don't have a problem, but surely it must be. Otherwise, it's not sanctioned. Madam?
I don't know if you just want to take that one only, because that question was raised last time, and you have included in the pack the question and answer. But the Treasury regulations require the minister to write the letter, an approval letter, and send it to them. So the minister has written that letter and made a submission that this is the adoption, or to the letter that is approved in the APP. The letter has been submitted. He is not required by law to sign here on the document. But I think what we then need to, as we go back as the department and the entities, is to make sure that if the minister is just going to write a letter, then he's not included as the list of the signatories. I think we must just do that, make sure that his signature, his part of the signature here is his signature. But the letter that the minister wrote is the one that was accepted.
That's exactly what I was saying, that other entities don't provide for the minister to sign. So this is the only one that does so, because the procedure is one that you've just explained. But if they put it in, you can't leave it open. It's a public document, it raises concerns. Proceed. Where is that thing? Where is that thing? That thing? So where is your... Is that the response?
No, it's not that. No, that's from the department.
Ms. McKenzie? What are you saying? I have not received the document that they want to present to us. Ikona, where is it?
You know what I was... I'm sorry, sort of a chat. What I was going to request very quickly, if people can actually... online this document to everybody, so that when we highlight it, then everybody also knows where it is. If it's possible, I know it's inconvenient and it's there, but it's going to be done very quickly because we've got everybody's email, I'm sure.
Are you live on your ICTs?
Yeah.
Proceed, sir. Do you know their emails?
No.
You know Hajera's email? You don't.
I only know Hajera's email. I'll send it to you now.
How big is your presentation? How many pages?
It's 46 pages.
Is that now your responses?
Yes, it's
46 pages.
Yes.
And you think you want to present them there on the screen? 46 pages for us to read there. CEO, why am I printing? Using my hard copies again, alternatively. We gave you 2 hours of leave in the morning to go around the drink tea. Why didn't you think of printing that document?
My apologies, Chair, because this document I had sent to the department yesterday, and we normally submit our document through the department.
Can I come in, Chair?
So
yes, sir.
I've been hearing to lots of things submitted to the department. If you ask, I will submit documents later. We can submit to Parliament for them to print. So to continue saying it was the report from the 25th that was received after 11 p.m., which official was awake by the time for you to expect the department to have submitted. And now again, the questions and whatever, and the USASA is giving us the same information. Was they sent it yesterday afternoon, and the officials said to fly to Cape Town. I apologize, but I have to raise that here. But
no, you're
honestly,
right.
I think it's just not on that USASA keeps on saying the department.
Please get us the copies.
Listening to that.
Please get us the copies. And I had given you 2 free hours from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock. Surely you should have sorted that matter out. Parliament must be taken serious, colleagues. We don't have the laxity of time. So we'll give you 10 minutes to make sure that the members have got copies. Is there tea? We'll adjourn for 5 minutes. Have tea and whilst we're waiting for the documentation.
Chair, I think if you're going to call us to a lunch meeting or breakfast meeting, then Nigeria must pay.
What?
Well,
I'm sure
I'll breakfast.
Only
lobster.
Can
you
give
Nigeria? We're very fond of it. This is my culture. It's a privilege. You know Nigeria. It's a blessing to feed somebody else.
Go ahead.
That's the letter that you wanted. It was after the engagement and the comment that was made in the committee. No letter came from that. After the committee said, you have not informed them of the best. You don't have to go to write. And then you look at it and said, you wanted us to submit the letter of the 1st of March.
Parliament, just in case. You want me to send it to the Parliament one? It won't, you won't get it.
I'm not going to get it.
Oh, I see. You can just take that. Remember our form has to change it. We haven't adopted it. Remember we haven't adopted it. We can start.
Yes.
About anything that we are receiving now. Our report, stands because as at the drafting of this document, we didn't have, so that thing remains. We've got a sitting at 2, no? What is today? Tuesday or Wednesday?
Tuesday.
So our sitting is at 2. That's what they wanted to do, and you said you are digital, you're anti-digital. Okay, are you making a proposal that we defect from today, no paper in the committee? I'd welcome that. I agree. I give members 2 months. We'll be in election time. I give members 1 month to go digital, and I'm ending papers in this committee. We must save trees from my province. We must save the toners and the environment in parliament, printing and all those things. And but we can offer members who have got smaller deficits some quick IT level. USASA will pay. Why are you shifting the responsibility? Members have got gadgets. Not for their children, but for them to use. Your children you must buy. Members are given money to buy those things. That's why I hate papers, because they confuse me. So 1 month from today, no paper in this committee, Jirana?
Sure.
I
next term.
Walk the
talk.
And the yes, I will. And the department must make sure that when they come into our meetings, they must have a gadget that can pick up what gadgets do we have, so that they just send information live. And they must, if they're not winning, they must call the former Minister Mashobo to help them. Now, not with the blocking devices now, but the unblocking devices, so that information can go in. Have we received the document?
Yes, sir.
Do you want to read all this thing to us? We only have 30 minutes to be in this meeting. Actually, 25 to be exact. There's the president at 2 o'clock appearing before parliament. Some members are participating, and they must be given time to get themselves ready now. This document should have been emailed to us. I know members read thoroughly. I mean, these members can read, I can promise you. They even read commas. That's how good they are. Colleagues, shall we continue? You are on the floor, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. What I'm going to do, I'm not going to give the detailed narrative on the document, because we will be sending a document which is signed off by the board. Because what happened is that management, we responded, and then the board of directors themselves as well, they had input on the document. And as such, immediately after the meeting, the chairperson of the board is going to sign off the document and then send it to parliament. Firstly, with regards to your question, Chair, the one that you asked about our document, which was not professionally binding. As an agency, we follow the cost containment measures, and so we couldn't procure professional services for the documents to be printed professionally, and it's only the APPs that we normally ask for a service provider to print them. On that note, Chair, we really, from my side and from the other side, we really apologize for that document being violated in that state, and we'll work with the oversight branch unit and find ways of how we meet the required standards by the committee, and from my side, I apologize for that document being a binding like that. And coming now to the issue, Chair, that you raised on smartness of the APC.
Don't quote individuals, just say the committee raised, because anybody that speaks here speaks on behalf of the committee.
As an agency, we have a planning policy which is approved by the board, and it's in terms of your national treasury framework for development of strategic plans and the APPs. And normally in our planning, we involve the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. We involve as well the AGSA. And as well, we normally invite all the SOEs that are reporting to the Ministry for Telecommunications and Postal Services. So I can assure the committee that the plan which is submitted, smart plan which the AGSA has late in February, they did indeed go through it again, because in November we gave them the second draft which they commented, then subsequent to that they commented as well to the draft that was provided to the ministry. And then coming to the issue now of the strategic plan being a moving target, I must reassure the committee that our strategic plan, it's from period 2014 to 2019. It's not beyond that. But what was the conclusion? Well, that said, if you look at that table where you talk on program performance indicators, National Treasury requires us that you must plan according to the MTEF. This is why our documents went over and above to 2022, because we have to plan according to the MTEF. Then the issue of the minister not signing our APP, it has been addressed. And then coming now to an issue of the acronyms in the document. That one, I must apologize from my side, because what happened is that all the documents that we were fighting is public documents, like your SA Connect policy, your national development plan. Now, those acronyms, they were more on the body of the documents where they were explained, but we are since now revising the document and ensure that all the acronyms, they are correctly captured. And coming now to a question of having a program called Rapid Deployment at Chisaka. The program is not in any way linked to the Rapid Deployment Guidelines in terms of the ECA. It's a program where from user side, we wanted to roll out the so-called access center using an electronic module. But over the time, that project, since now we have now aligned ourselves to the SA Connect policy, we no longer have the Rapid Deployment Program, but we have connectivity. But over the years, we haven't changed the naming convention of that program. It's still Rapid Deployment and Connectivity. But Rapid Deployment is not linked to the one of your waiting and the one that in terms of the SA Connect policy and in terms of the PCA, but it's not linked to that. Then coming to USASA linking its targets to the South Africa Connect, SA Connect was one of the policies when we were doing planning as management that we saw that it's affecting the operational activities of the Universal Service Fund. And what happened?
What page are you now?
I'm just talking, giving an overall view of the documentation. I am on page.
But the page is not, it's one last.
Well, we don't have the pages, so we...
It's point nine.
Point nine.
What is it from about?
9.
I'm able to tell you what are we talking about.
Okay. Okay. Item number 9.
Yes, sir. So, we link in our broadband program to phase 1 implementation of the Eastern Connect policy, as we have those 8 district municipalities. For now, we have done intervention at the OR, Tambo district municipality, at Mutale, and Vembe, and Kerepimane. This is why in our APP we make reference to that. Then there was a question whereby now that our APP includes rainy things. Like I said before, the framework for development of strategic plans and APP requires us to consider all the ICT related policies which affect the operational activities of both USASA and USAR. And it was for that reason that National Development Plan, the Strategic Integrated Project 2015, they were in the
open. Why don't you connect this thing? Is there no cable to connect that thing you are reading there?
I asked Angela to call the IT guy, if not my team.
Okay.
I have connected.
Continue then. Now we are speaking to this graph, the issues that you are raising.
The graph, Chair, I have skipped it because I've already alluded that we are following the South African Connect policy phase 1 implementation plan. And as such, now the table which is reflected in the directive taken from the South African Connect policy. That says that in 2019, 90% of the population must have access to broadband at speed of 5 megs.
By when?
By 2020.
Of what relevance is it to us now? Look, you see the problem, and that's why we say it doesn't make sense. You understand it perhaps, doesn't make sense. We can't oversight this thing. So having it here is of no value. What can we ask you on this, on the thing that you're presenting? We should be, the question we must ask, where are you? But that information you should be in a position to present to us, even in advance. Now you got your baseline 2013, which has got that figure. 2016, you've got a certain achievement, but the rest is going to happen in 2020. So in 2017-2018 financial year, if we oversight you, what must we say to you, and what are you going to say to us? I think that's the essence of the question.
Where we are sitting here, we have now rolled out successfully broadband services to eight local municipalities.
To make us understand how we should read this thing currently. You see, that was the question. Ubuti, if we have to say we are oversighting whether you are meeting those requirements or what have you, how will we say in 2017-18? Because now you're giving us a 2020. I think that's the issue we're raising. That it remains a confusion even up to now.
Yeah. You know, Chair, just to clarify that before my questions all come with, I think this is just a broad government framework in terms of when we implement these things in the different municipalities, what's important is the speed. Because, you know, when you go to clinics and schools, they always complain about that when there's too much traffic, you know, then this thing doesn't work.
It goes down.
And what we need to do in the monthly report is to give you specific in terms of, because that's what now is USASA are looking at through project management. We never had a tool of actually checking the usage, number one, but two, the speed in those things. Because for it to work, once a person presses a button in a clinic, it must give him or her sort of outcome at that point in time. So you are right, you know, the visit just brought a picture, but when it comes to operational reporting, because those are the figures we are going to give, because that's where effectiveness is tested. You are right.
Yeah, proceed, sir, whilst that thing is trying to catch up, because we don't have time. Members should feel free to, if they want clarity, otherwise the Vietnamese. Proceed.
Good afternoon, Chair, members of the committee. I'm on item number 11. The title is page 24, expenditure estimate. The question from the committee when you were here last was on page 25 of the USASA plan, the budget estimate was 80.074 million. However, on page 31 of the plan, there was 79.465 million. And what was the difference? The difference is that the 609,000 is the cost of program 2, which was on page 35. So one would have to aggregate the two numbers, and then the result is the 80.074 million, the total budget. The next question was, why is non-tax revenue, why is there none shown from 2017-18 to 2020-21? And the reason being is that that was actually referring to interest revenue, and that is not budgeted for. The third question was on the USASA final plan on page 30. Over the previous two financial years, ICT spend in aggregate was 52 million. But from 2017-18, it reduces to 4.6 and just above 5 million going forward. In the previous two financial years, the majority of the spend was related to the implementation of SAP. And from 2017-18, the onward spending is more moderate to incorporate support and maintenance of the system. The next question members had was the reason for the reduction of the 250 million rand for the BDM. And this was done as the allocation from National Treasury was reduced. And you've also incorporated in the actual email that we received from the DTPS advising us that the allocation from National Treasury was reduced. Thank you.
Sorry, Chair, just on the point of procedure,
yeah.
I heard you earlier. Must we hold our questions until the end? Hold our questions.
Do you have a question?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Sorry, Chair, but I'm not sure if you're aware of this. The reason behind my questioning was not, you know, what instructions did you have, but why has the funding for BDM been scaled back? Do you have a reason for that? Why the rollout has been other than no money? How the rollout has been delayed like this? Thank you.
Through the Chair, USASA did not get reasons from National Treasury. We received this email from the department advising us that the allocation for National Treasury was reduced, but we did not get any reasons behind it.
Thank you.
And going to item number 12, Chair, our program center. Our program structure is the framework from National Treasury. So we have gone to the framework itself and tested so that we can demonstrate to Parliament that we have followed the framework when we were planning. So the program structure is according to that. Then coming to item number 13.
Wait. What are you talking about? That the National Treasury gave you this format. and you are just filling the information. Is that what you're saying?
Chair, we were responding to a question which was posed to us that our ATV seems not to follow the program structure in terms of planning. And then what we have done from our side now, we wanted to demonstrate to the committee that we have followed the framework for National Treasury, the development of such plans and ATVs. This is what we have done to demonstrate to the committee that we have followed the project to the team. Because there was a question which was asked on the capacity of management and planning.
Yeah, well, it's a pity that, you know, we didn't invite you to come and make a presentation. We wanted you to deal with the issues that were raised earlier on. Personally, I've left my documents in the office because I remember that, but it's fine because we will come back to, no, it's fine, I think I'm going to waste time. But it's okay. It's fine, you can continue. But I know that there are issues. There are issues in that thing that you had submitted in that APP. But if you stand by it, it's okay. Your previous one.
Just to give the chairperson the comfort, we have gone back and revised the document. That was done. Even if you can compare the two documents, you will see that there's a change in the document.
I have seen the latest document. It looks perfect. The latest document, indeed, we're not dealing with it, but I can say I went through all of it, including what the chair had raised, unlike what he had raised earlier on. Even in the content of the document, it speaks to the current situations. We can over... It's matter. That's all I can say. But proceed, because I'll only allow members to come in if they want to raise issues, because our time is really getting gobbled up.
Item number 13, I'm not going to dwell more on it because we've already addressed it, because it was more a question which was asked as well as to our votes in the common policy, which I've already answered to. Then going to page, item number 15, change in budget, land process. There was a question which was posed to us, and that the committee wanted us to demonstrate our understanding of strategic planning and us being having capacity to develop ATPs as required in terms of national treasury. And as I've alluded before, that we have a policy in place and we normally submit our ATPs to the TME even before they are submitted to the GTS. And as well, we have over the years, past 2 years, engaged extensively with AGSA, and they normally form part of our planning. And when we put indicators and we do your technical descriptors, AGSA, they normally provide us with guidance and comments as to how much we couch them so that we are able to report on the front information. So I have
ATS doesn't run your department. It doesn't run your entity. And you can't involve them all the way. It can't be true. They are not sitting in your department. They are a chapter 9 institution. They give you guidelines. Even as they audit, they don't even audit everything. They just take one or two things in your what you call. So you can't represent AG's office and say they are sitting with you full time. Then they are failing their responsibility as a constitutional body. And I can tell you now, we are misrepresenting them. But continue.
Through you, without What I can confirm is that I can give to you documentation that demonstrated that we have met with the ATSA where we had a workshop.
That I agree.
We went through our APP.
That is fine.
The relationship over the time that we have established, because previously we had a problem that our APP, they were not smart, and as such now through the body audit this, they ask AJSA to form part of our planning that whenever we submit to the department, we must ensure that our APPs, they are audited by AJSA, and at the same time, TPMB as well, they are assembled. Those details, I can, when I'm providing information, I can provide that.
What you're saying now is okay. Not what you were saying earlier. Proceed, sir.
Page 16, Chair, if you recall, we said that we have reduced our performance indicators from 24 to 5, and there was a question which was asked now, that does it mean we have lesser capacity as an agency? Now, the reason why we reduced our performance indicators, we were advised during the first planning session, even by the other entities, that our APP, in particular, for Lusaka, that the things that we put there, they were more operational and things that they must be relegated to the operational plan and the performance contract of executives and the senior managers in the organization. This is why now, on the APP, you have less of performance indicators. And we wanted now to be focused so that we focus on service delivery. I'll make an example. We had in the previous APP an indicator that talks about improving the audit outcomes. And it's not something that you can plan for a clean audit. This is why now that it has been relegated to an operational plan and the performance agreement of all executives, managers, and members, staff members.
What are you saying? You can't plan for a clean audit? What are you saying? Are you saying that?
What we are planning for, Chair, is for us to be able to deliver on our mandate and then and strengthen our internal environment, and by doing that, we will deliver. And
no, I wanted to hear what you were saying, not what you are trying to qualify now.
What you were trying to say, Chair, if I can come to you there, is that clean audit, which is an administrative imperative, would not necessarily be elevated to those five KPIs, indicators. Those five KPIs is high impact stuff, and clean audit is a natural process that we need to make sure that management aims for. But we're not seeing the strategy.
I think when you sit there on the computer, he must come this side. But proceed. Your answers are better than the acting CEO. See, when are you when you shine my own cold water? Proceed.
Maybe, sir, I must confess, during your opening, to some extent, you had a dominant effect on me, but it's fine. Maybe I was rattled.
Apologies.
All right. On the issue of USASA, of not able to achieve our targets, there was a question which was asked as to why are we not able to achieve our targets and plans. And my response to that is there's various factors that need to be taken into account, because USASA, we are established under a legal complex which is administered by ICASA, and as such, Now, the main concentration is more from the regulator on achieving the technical and economical regulations. And when it comes to your social, it's not something which is given consideration to. And for us as USASA to be able to achieve in our mandate, it's very important that we work together with the regulator. And at the same time, if you look at chapter 14 of the EPA, there's close to 12 funded mandates. And the baseline budget which we receive from National Treasury does not talk to those funded mandates. So this is why the organization, we are not able to achieve our mandate as required. Even when it comes to planning, there's instances where we have committed ourselves that we will do impact assessment and all that, and down the line we found ourselves that, as a matter of fact, we don't have that money and we don't have that expertise in the organization to do that. So there's a lot of factors which contribute to us not able to achieve. But starting from this year now, we have changed things around because we have noted that for us to achieve, we need to work closely with the department, with all the entities that report under the Ministry for Telecommunications and Infrastructure Services, so that we can share resources and in terms of planning, they come on board and assist us so that we are able to achieve and at the same time bring closer the regulator.
So very quickly there, what he's saying is, you know, we've learned a lot from the past, and one is actually confining the KPIs to be short and smart and limited in terms of numbers. But secondly, because of the constraints in terms of resources, both human capital and financial, we've decided as board that we need to maximize our sort of use of resources, and therefore collaboration for us is going to be key in all the provinces that we're going to. We have started that with, for instance, Eastern Cape and KZN, where we're working to look at how much the municipality are going to put in as well in terms of assisting us. Then we look at even companies, you know, with Vodacom and everybody can assist. But also, you know, we look internal in terms of companies reporting to TPS, i.e. in the MISA, they come in with e-learning, and BBI are coming very strong in terms of assisting us with the backhaul and so on. And then CITAS is going to come in as well in terms of its technology. So we're looking at maximizing the impact using the small resources. But if we collaborate with everybody that we have, including a private partnership and municipalities, I think we can make this big. Because what we've actually, throughout the years, you know, just as, you know, they've got small budgets, and we only confine with that small budget 50 million, including the subsidies, you know, sort of input from the...
Chair, our time.
Yeah, so okay, let me stop there. So I'm trying to say we are on the track, so you see when you report throughout the year. Thank you.
Chairperson, item number 18. There was a question that was asked about the proximity of the connected by, and our response here is saying that this is determined by the topography of a particular municipality. I'll make an example. In the past financial year, we connected Imbende, which is at Umkhungundlovu district municipality. There, we needed to build 18 high fives, whereas at Inyangeni in the Eastern Cape, we built 30 feet because it's determined by how big the area is and the number of the sites that need to be connected. Now, in terms of proximity, we cannot, like, give the, in terms of distances and so forth, because it's determined now by the need. Like with Indian Delhi for the first time, it's the first time that as the agency when we roll out even the municipality, they become the anchor tenants of that network.
No, I'm listening. We must proceed because we have limited time. We are really left
the
with...
The issue of identification of size, you have already mentioned that we following the same...
I've got big eyes, so don't look at me.
We following the...
They're just big and...
The implementation of the SA economic policy. Then there was a question on planning of the digital development fund. Now, from the board side, because you have a policy from the department that talks about USASA and USASA being dissolved and there was this transition to DDF. Now, we wanted to have, in the meantime, a transitional plan in place so that when that time comes, already there's plans in place because we have infrastructure now that is USASA is subsidizing and we wanted now to have a strategy when we move now to a DDF, what is going to happen to that infrastructure? Now that program is intended now to answer to that. Then there was a question 21 where in the chairperson's forward it the issue of the corrupt process on set-top boxes was not mentioned. That now, the forward of the chairperson, it has been updated and that has been amplified. Then another one here was the issue of us. I think that page 22, the role of USASA in on the implementation of SA economic policy, that one here we've answered. Then there was a question now on the negotiations in a way, because when we roll out broadband, we normally provide a 24-month connectivity contract. And there was a question now, what happens thereafter? We started the broadband program in the year 2013-14 financial year where we started with Emala Beni and Lucina. So that contract after 24 months it lasts and as such now
Emala Beni and Lucina in KZN.
Yes. So that project because of the lapse of that contract that project it became a white elephant. But what now we are doing now, we are trying now to resuscitate that because with other municipalities, we are now in a process of entering into MOUs where they are willing to take over connectivity after a period of 24 months. But one of the things that we want to highlight to the committee is that because these are underserved municipalities, and universal service funds, by their very nature, they are intended to subsidize these areas perpetually. So it simply means it's a question of policy and something which is beyond us as the agency. And in some instances, the municipalities, they will commit, but they don't come back and say, no, we read your law that you are this national fund that is supposed to connect us and maintain connectivity. So those are the challenges that we are confronted with. And at the same time, I wanted to emphasize that universal service funds, by their very nature, they are intended to connect these areas that are underserved on a perpetual basis. Then there was a question now on issue of a set-top box. Either do they have a warranty and all the STBs that are manufactured, they come with a 2-year warranty and a 1-year warranty on installation. But we don't have a dedicated call center if a household is experiencing problems with a set of goals, what we have in place, that particular household visits the post office, then the post office will dispatch an installer to go and check as to what is wrong, and if the box is found to be faulty, that box is normally swapped around, and we have a reverse logistics process in place. Then the issue of rapid deployment, I've answered. Then relationship with Centec. As the agency, we do have MOUs with Project Infraco. We are finalizing one with NEMISA, and we have a MOU with ICASA. So when it comes to broadband, in particular this year, they're going to form part of the planning team, and they're going to be part of our big evaluation committee. So when we plan for broadband rollouts, it must be in terms of the SA Connect and what kind of needs. So with Centec, we have a collaboration. Then the last question 28, the one that was asked on risk management. Here, Chair, all we are saying, the indicator that we have on our APP, it speaks about the implementation of the risk management plan. It does not talk to the risk appetite by the organization. And as such now, with this particular indicator, we have a dedicated member of the board and audit risk committee that would be chairing the risk committee on a monthly basis, where we'll be looking on all the 10 problems that are identified, and we are able now to mitigate to a lot of the produce on monthly basis, so that we are not
on monthly basis. A member of the board, what are you saying? I just can't believe this.
All right, we have a...
So it means board members are full-time. That's exactly the thing that we were querying last time. You said on a monthly basis, a board member sits, or risk committee thing.
What we identified is we've got back, and what we identified with back, that is because of it meets every quarter, and because of the magnitude voluminous work that it deals with, it doesn't focus a lot on the risk, and for certain reasons because of the contracts, all those type of things.
No, answer the question.
And so the board made a decision that there must be a dedicated subcommittee reporting to back of called the risk management risk committee, and that risk committee, it still needs to be constituted in terms of members, and then the terms of reference must be clear in terms of what it's going to do, and the constitution of that, the sequence of meetings, they'll all be decided at the back, because it's a rep of the back who sits there, and that's what
all, all I'm expressing is that for a board committee, subcommittee to meet minimum of 12 times in a year, it's just totally, totally unaffordable. And it's tantamount to full-time, and it's therefore it's not on the board. I mean, then you must just turn the board into the executive. The executive can meet every month, but the board can't meet every month. I mean, it's just...
All right. The last one was the risk identified on contracts. At the agency, we have now a live set system where all the contracts they are captured on the set system, and we are able now to check them on weekly basis and be able to report.
Colleagues, we are left with less than 7 minutes to the out of the speaker. Just make reflections, unless if you have a quick short question. Otherwise, I don't want members to be here after one. Mama Shin, Mama Killian, Mama. Mama Kelly? You are? No, she's fine. She's preoccupied with the other matter. She's fine.
Okay. Chairperson, thank you very much. I am sorry, I have had another meeting, urgent meeting, that I have to excuse myself from this committee, so I went over to the Speaker's office. I just wanted to ask, can we please understand your risk register? Where do we have a copy of that? Because if this committee, a board committee, sits on a monthly basis, surely if we should know about all the potential risks. If it is with regards to the bid adjudication, I also don't understand why it's necessary to meet monthly, honestly, Chair. But I think it's important to know what the other risks are. For instance, you seem to also be at risk of legal action. So have you made provision for that in terms of a contingency? And how do you manage legal action taken against yourself? How do you manage that? Where can we find information about that? Chairperson, then, I have not gone through some of these notes that they've made, but I just wanted to make two comments on what I've seen. And one is in relation to the cost containment matter, that is the binding of the document. I think what is important is just a comment that it's not really seen, certainly not binding, as a proper reason why we received the document. And again today, it's just a little bit differently bound, but it's still one that makes it difficult for us to accept on the basis of how it is printed and provided to Parliament. An APP is usually bound in a real document. So I would suggest that you look at different matters of cost containment, not on some of the critical documents that you provide to Parliament. So I just wanted to make that comment. But can you please, oh yeah, and by the way, Chair, under item 4, agency, what will you be doing in 2017-2021 out of 9? I just wanted to say you again referred to targets, medium-term targets for 2018-2019, and actually we're talking about the budget for 2018-19, not the target. Because the outer years of the MTSS, those are targets, yes, that we can understand. But we're talking about 2018-19, not as an MTSS target, but as the actual budget.
Yes.
So I think that is crucially important for us, because what we need to assess here is to determine, do you have funding in place to fund your APP goals and targets? And can we keep you accountable to those specific targets? We don't want to have comebacks to say, yes, but this went wrong and that went wrong there, etc., etc. We want to be assured that the board of USALSA is well informed about potential risks, where are the possible deviations that we should anticipate as a committee, etc. We don't want to come back afterwards, after the effect, and say, oh yes, but we didn't inform you about this, that, and the following, and actually this has now happened. We need all of that up front. Thank you, Chair.
Madam Dunne.
Okay, thanks, Chair. I would like to SASA give us the names and the list of the schools and clinics and police stations which has been connected several times when we asked for the information, but we didn't get it for the sake of the oversight. And then I was asking about the say, oh, the current one or the acting one, not the one who has been suspended. Thanks, Chair.
Colleagues, I don't know. Some of it comments, some of it you may want to do in writing because it's a longer list. But we will come back to you with some of the things because we really had to browse through this thing because I personally would like to check it against my notes that I had made. But it's fine. Any want to speak by yourself?
Yes. Thank you, members, for the input. Firstly, Madam Nogeni, just to answer you on the current acting CEO, he's been with the agency for 7 years, and he's been doing different roles. His last role was executive performance, and before that, he was the manager of the CEO's office. And prior to Musasa, he was working at ICASA, at manager level, and he also was working at the Department of Communications when it was combined. He has a law degree. And the names of schools and clinics, we'll check that because the last time when you asked for that, you're supposed to have gotten that information, so we'll quickly check where it is. Madam Killian, all the things you've said around risk, we'll look at that. And certainly, for instance, you know, this risk committee has not set. It's a gap that was identified by us. So we need to put it in place in terms of all the issues you've mentioned. But in the next, when we come here, you get something in writing in terms of all the areas you've mentioned.
Colleagues,
we've got the risk register at USASA, which we'll make available to you as well. And then the question on cost containment, I think that is noted now. And then the last issue is whether the APP is funded sufficiently. It is, ma'am, because what has happened, we've actually set with the different stakeholders, including the DDPS, and our budget was the reiteration process until the budget that is part of this APP. So we're not going to come back to you with stories. The only challenge we have is on the funding of digital migration. It's less this year. It's far less. It's a lesser amount. If Mohammed is giving that amount for you, just to know. But however, we need to clean out our warehouses completely. So we've got a target of cleaning our warehouses and doing the installations across the country. And hopefully the new minister, once we know what the strategy is, then that's what we want to actually discuss with them. It has been very unfortunate. When we agree on a strategy with the minister, then she leaves. Then we've got another minister, then the teacher leaves and so on. And we start from scratch. And we can't do alone. We need to partner with them in terms of the MOU we have with them. Thank you.
Amakilia?
Yes. I think, Jay, we have mentioned our concern before that ministers are like ships sailing past in the night. You can't build your entity on the back of your relationship with whoever is the minister or the deputy minister. I think what is important is that ministers are the political heads and they are serving there at the behest of the president of the day. And
program.
You have to execute your program. And that's why we are engaging you to see this is the plan. This is what we're doing, irrespective of who the minister is. You know, so I also noted that in your comments, and I don't think that is the correct approach. I think it should be addressed.
Thank you. I think you are noting all those things. Because the next thing you're going to blame the ministers that have left and those that are still coming, yet you never presented them as part of your APP. We want to oversight you on what you presented, not on the minister. colleagues, I think we should bring our meeting to the end. And thanks, DM, for coming in and your intervention, and thanks for the presentation. We are not done with this presentation. We'll have to. I'll allow members to, because you didn't have your source document, to go through it and then craft your take on the issues. Then we'll take it up with them.
Just one comment from me, very quickly. Is our APC approved
We have not considered your APP, sir. I said it when I started, and so we haven't. And that's what our report is saying. We have not considered your APP. You will wait for your principals, the department, to tell you what to do and not what to do. Even those people that whose APPs we have considered, they can't get it from the committee as to how they are supposed to be carrying out their responsibilities. That's not our responsibility. We are not the executive, we are the legislature. Our role is not execution, our role is oversight. Thank you very much, and this brings us to the end of the meeting, and sorry for all the hurdles, those people who misunderstood me, that I've been a bit on a harsher side. When it comes to issues of governance and non-adherence, it really does touch one on the sore point when I know that what is supposed to be doing and that's what happened. So, no personal vendettas, no personal knowledge. I don't know all of you. All of you, I don't know. I only actually know the minister. The deputy minister, I don't even know. I just know her now. So I have nothing against anybody. And and I treat everybody the same. My role is chairperson. If members behave in a particular way, I call them to order, and I can't smile when I do that. Neither do I do it to anybody else. But that's me. So I have nothing against anybody. And when I read the rule book, I am reading the law, and my role is to protect this law and the Constitution.
Absolutely. We salute you.
Thank you. So we will inform you about the next smaller meeting that Madam Shin will pay for its cost. And then I'm expecting donations from Mama Shin's holiday. Supposed to get directly to her, don't bring them to me.
Okay.
Yeah, cut out the middle
there. Yeah.
Can I have all
my number?
Yeah, I think so.
You can put it in.
Can I see it?
Yeah.
I'm well. But I put it as a
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
There are things that are not supposed to be there.